Have you ever wanted to take a stab at building your own website? Or is the thought of it just too daunting for you to even start? Today's guest is Aidan Moskal, the principal lecturer in IT at Otago Polytechnic, who can help demystify the process. Now, if you have any questions, you can send them to us on text 2101 or by email afternoons@rnz.co.nz. And so with us, let's introduce Aidan. Kia ora, Aidan, and welcome to Afternoons.
Kia ora, thanks very much for having me.
So tell me, first principles, just how hard is it these days to build a website or an app?
Well, I guess it sort of depends on how far down that rabbit hole you want to go. I mean, there are so many tools available now that make it incredibly easy for people with absolutely no technical experience to build a website, build a blog, you know, services like WordPress or Wix or Squarespace or any of those kind of sites. They're really accessible for, you know, the everyday person to jump on and get a website, great looking website up and running. If you want a bit more, you know, database of products or some e-commerce or something, then you might have to go a little bit further. You know, down that technical rabbit hole. But in terms of getting something up and running, we're living in just a crazy technological age at the moment.
Yeah, it was such a different scene, say, from 10 to 12 years ago, Aidan, where it was actually a lot harder to actually, you know, know where to start regards building a website for your business or your company, or just a personal site like a photo website. But now these apps or do DIY website programs, gosh, they make it so much easier, don't they? And they look really sharp.
Yeah, they do. I mean, I've noticed it just working at the Polytech. We do client projects for, you know, anyone who needs something built can come in and talk to us, and we get it going with the students. And just over the past, say, 5 years, we've noticed a real shift away from people wanting websites built. That used to be the bread and butter. Hey, can you build me a website? And it just isn't anymore because people can do it themselves. And it's definitely moving more to, say, mobile apps or something with a bit more meat to it, which is great for us, for our students. It's a bit something technical for them to get into. But just that shift, and that's all due to services like this and a general, I think, digital literacy. People are just becoming a little bit more technical and learning a bit more coding at school, and it's just a big shift in the population.
Nonetheless, as you said at the start, depends on what you want to do, because if you want to go to a new level and actually have some sort of, let's say, payment features built in or particular algorithmic features, then you might need a bit of a hand.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there are still services for that. So it's not necessary that you have to learn to code it yourself.
Yes.
For example, if you use something like Shopify to handle the e-commerce, I would almost recommend something like that because in terms of payment, security, that's not something you want to mess up. So if you're not, you know, 100% sure what you're doing, leaving it to a service that provides that is probably a better idea. Probably the biggest thing is to figure out exactly what you would want to do and what features you might need, and then just a little Googling, to be honest, to find the best solutions that are available.
Doing some of your own homework. Hey, if you do have a question for Aidan, you can text me 2101. You might have a business that doesn't yet have a website. You might be a hobbyist who wants to start a website, be it, stamp collecting or stamp swapping or model trains or what have you. Regarding e-commerce, Aidan, there's still a bit of room to grow, as I understand, with New Zealand businesses. There are still a lot of small businesses around the country that actually do not have a website presence.
Yeah, I mean, it's not necessary, I guess, for every business, depending on what your audience is. If you're doing, you know, crafts or something for a local market, then using something like social media, Facebook Marketplace or something like that might be everything you need, and having a website and then maintaining it could be overhead that you don't necessarily need. In terms of businesses wanting to compete, say, on a national or international stage, I think, especially now, a website is almost a necessity. If you have an online presence, that's like your storefront, you know. If you don't have a physical store for people to look in and you want international people to check out what you're doing or something, then that is your gateway to your business, essentially.
By the way, a couple of tech questions. is somebody eating Doritos? No one's eating Doritos or a packet of chips or eating an apple. That's just the nature of the link that we have here. But here's a question from Logan, Aidan. What does your guest think of Web 3.0 development?
Web 3.0 is one of those terms that, as we move through the various stages of web, we've had sort of, you know, information being available and people consume it, and then we move to sort of Web 2.0, which is a lot more interactive, social web. And so I guess the Web 3.0 is this sort of amorphous term for the modern web that we have now, a lot of AI algorithms, a lot of social web. Again, for anyone wanting to participate, having just a standard presence is still core to being on the web. So if you're worried about it, if you're hearing these buzzwords or you're not sure how to start, you know, having a web presence, I think just finding a site like WordPress or something and getting yourself an established presence, even if it's just a blog or a simple static page with some content on it, for probably most businesses or most people wanting to connect with a wider population, that's probably going to suffice. So I don't know if this is exactly where the question was coming from, but I wouldn't get too caught up in a lot of buzzwords or the moving of the web into these different phases.
Yeah,
for the everyday person.
Good advice. We're with Aidan Moskal, Principal Lecturer in IT at Otago Polytechnic this afternoon, talking about our website development. There are some questions coming through, and quite a few coming through, actually. Here's one. This is from Susan in New Plymouth. Hi, I would like to set up a self-client booking platform with the website for my small one-therapist massage practice. Any suggestions? I haven't built the website yet, asks Susan.
So a client booking, so once you start dealing with any sort of data, you have sort of a lot more considerations. You need to protect that data, especially if it's client. It's not your personal data, but you're responsible for other people's data now. And trying to manage times and bookings and stuff, that would probably be a little bit bigger. But there are services, again, Timely off the top of my head, not that I'm endorsing any one thing, but I just think there are booking services out there that are very easy to integrate into websites. So that kind of software as a service, trying to provide something a bit more technical, such as getting client details, saving them. If you don't want to deal with a database and trying to maintain it, the best thing is to offload it to someone else, like say Timely, that kind of thing.
All right. Now, some of your questions may be able to be answered. Some of them might be a bit too specific, or indeed outside the remit, or indeed not. Any question, please do put forward. Dave in South Taranaki says, can you please ask your guest about Google websites? We don't seem to be able to insert keywords anywhere into their platform.
So I'm guessing this is maybe about SEO or search engine optimization, using keywords on websites. It is a field unto itself. So, so using keywords on your site that relate to your business is part of it, but there are a number of ways to improve how your sites will appear in Google. I'm just guessing this is maybe where the question is going. If it's not, then I apologize and ignore everything I'm saying. But a lot of that can get quite technical, and there are a lot of experts in the SEO space. Sensible naming of things, so not having like page one, page two on your site, but having, you know, products / men's or women's, or, you know, something that's very specific to what you're, to what your business is about, will help. So there's little things that can be done, but in terms of, yeah, getting better results, that is a whole field unto itself. And it might be that you need to enlist someone to help.
Yep. Another one here. Aidan, I'm developing a recipe website on Wix, but I'm struggling with the screen not filling the whole page. I'm considering moving to Wix Editor X to help this. Would that be my best option? Is this easy to move to? And Aidan, a lot of these are quite quite small questions, but in the scheme of things, quite significant, eh? Because you want the look to be just right. So the screen not filling the whole page might be a small problem, but actually for the person, it's a big problem.
Yeah, and I don't know if I can comment too much about the specifics of Wix and its ins and outs. As a platform, those kind of services will provide templates, and you know, and the less you mess with them, probably the better the results will be. I know that's not always the best idea in terms of customization, or you want it to look a certain way and it doesn't. But if you can find a template or something that automatically does what you want, otherwise learning a little bit, a lot of those platforms will let you get in and tweak bits of the HTML or the CSS, which is the style. So if you can get into that and look up a little bit, watch a YouTube video or something, it might be a simple tweak. But yeah, some of those design related things, I mean, style stuff, CSS, I've been doing this for years, is still the bane of my existence, because you're moving things like a pixel at a time and trying to get them to line up and stuff.
Right.
So it can be an art form rather than a science. So, you know, a lot of these questions are going to be, you know, it depends what you're trying to do. So,
yes, of course.
In that particular case, it may be that someone needs to take a look at it and be like, oh, you just got this specified here. Take that out and it'll just work. But rather than that, I would suggest maybe finding a template or something that just does what you want.
Yeah. Now, regarding that booking, the therapist massage booking, someone says also, can I suggest the Calendly app is great, the Calendly, Calendly. You can integrate easily with WordPress for a nice-looking site, and even Stripe if you want to make payments. So thank you for that. Now, what about special equipment? Do you need any special equipment, or will a standard laptop do? Is there enough memory and hard disk space generally? I mean, can an average site be built on anything?
Yeah, I would say today, unless you're using a computer that you've had for like the past 30 years or something, you should be fine. Probably the best thing would be a good internet connection. A lot of these things will be done through an online service. If you're using WordPress, Wix, any of these, you'll be editing through the online service itself. So having a good connection, decent screen size is, you know, it's a nice to have, so you can see what's going on. Mm. But in terms of specialist equipment, no, unless you're running some sort of, you know, database or algorithm on your computer that's doing a lot of computations, you should be able to get by with pretty much anything.
Talking IT this afternoon, and specifically developing a website for your hobby, your small business, or what have you, you can send in your question by text 21 01. I just want to bring up also, Aidan, the idea of actually keeping data safe and secure. Hacking has been big in the news, hasn't it, in the last couple of years? So if you're building a website or a service, what about the security of it, and, you know, choosing strong passwords, that type of thing? Do you want to comment on that?
Yeah. Again, if you're using these online services, a lot of that headache is taken away from you. They're all secure and they're all using encryption. And so any data that you're storing on there should be relatively secure. Obviously, anything that's publicly visible, so, you know, someone can browse to it and read it, that is available to anyone. So you have to sort of pick and choose what you're putting on your site. But if you're not storing any sensitive data, most things should be fine. As you say, the password to your account is probably one of your biggest security risks.
Right.
And it's probably something that people should be aware of. So picking a long password, so something up to 16 characters, is going to be much more secure than something with lots of random characters or, you know, a shorter version of that. And it's purely because anyone who's trying to hack it is just running through every conceivable combination of characters. And the longer you get, the more time it's going to take them to crack it. So something like 16 characters is several million years, I think, in terms of cracking it.
It's a paramount. It's a fantastic piece of advice, actually, Aidan, because I once showed an IT expert an old password, the sort that I used, and the sort that this person recommended, and the difference was vast. You know, he had all the letters, numbers, and shapes and symbols, and mine was not much more, really, than my birthday. And he said, quite honestly, and I was blown away by the difference.
Mm-hmm. And especially, like, if you use the same password over multiple sites, which, you know, I'm guilty of this as well. But if it's cracked on one site that maybe isn't as secure, and you're also using it for your banking password or something like that, people have it now. So just being aware of where you're using certain passwords and keeping them as unique and as long as possible is probably the safest. In terms of, again, storing data on your sites, I wouldn't be too paranoid about getting hacked. Targeted attacks are usually going to go for some big organization or some sensitive data that's worth something. The worst you'll probably come across is somebody randomly trawling websites looking for any vulnerabilities. But in that case, it's not personal. It's something that's doing it automatically and just crawling across the internet looking for what it can.
Okay. And finally, just another question just around setting up your small business online or, you know, a serious hobby that's growing and you're starting to maybe sell some stuff. What about an email address? People can get hold of you. Is it better to use a website email address or keep your own?
I guess part of it's down to what sort of face you want to put out to the public. If you're using a personal email for something personal, then that's probably fine. If you're using your personal email or its Gmail address for, say, a business, you might want to think about how, it sounds terrible, but how professional that comes across. Same with a domain name. If you've got, myexcellentbusiness.wordpress.com, it starts to put across a certain perception of what the business, how much IT you've invested in, that kind of thing. So if you want to invest in a custom domain name and then have, info at that domain, it just sort of, gives a slight professionalism, a sort of shine to what you're doing. But again, it's an investment. So all these things, if you want a custom domain, it's going to cost some money. It's about $25 or so a year. So every business will be different, and people have to take stock of what stage they're at and when they might need to make some of these investments.
It's been a pleasure, Aidan, having you on the program. Thank you so much again.
No problem.
All the very best. Yep, keep going.
Well, I was just going to say, if anyone does want to learn some coding, there's a fabulous program at the Otago Polytechnic, Bachelor of Information Technology. So feel free to inquire, and I can answer any questions you might have there.
Nice one, Aidan. Thank you. That's Aidan Moskal, Principal Lecturer in IT at Otago Polytech, helping demystify the process on setting up your own website.